Hello, this is Ron Falk for the Department of Medicine at the University of North Carolina, and welcome to the Chair's Corner. Today, we welcome Dr. Patricia Rivera, who's Professor of Medicine in our Pulmonary Division and is the Director of a Lung Cancer Screening Clinic. This is a clinic that specializes in detecting the risk of lung cancer in patients and also in helping patients decide if lung cancer screening is needed. And these are the issues that we want to talk about today. Welcome, Dr. Rivera.
Thank you.
Let's begin just with a general description of what is a lung cancer screening clinic? What do you do there?
At our clinic, we talk to patients about their risk for lung cancer. We talk to them about the risks and benefits of enrolling in annual CT screening. We discuss what may be found on screening tests, the false positives, how we would manage those, commitment to screening yearly, and more importantly, commitment to smoking cessation if the patient is still a smoker. I use a decision aid tool that was developed in the University of Michigan, a wonderful tool, shouldiscreen.com. I go through all the scenarios of what is my risk, what should I expect, what if I find this, what if I find that. And, you know, we explain to patients what this means, what this will provide in terms of outcomes.
Why, as a patient, do I want to go through a CT scan of my chest? Why on earth would I want to do it on an annual basis? What's the benefit to me?
Well, the most important benefit is that lung cancer is the most common cause of cancer death in men and women. And unfortunately, the majority of lung cancers are diagnosed at an advanced stage. So the goal is to detect cancer at a stage where we can do the most for, and that's a surgery. And more importantly, because we now have a landmark article published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2011 that demonstrated the lung cancer screening actually decreased mortality when compared to CT screening when compared to chest x-ray in patients who were at risk for lung cancer.
Why should I get screened? There are these CT scanners in malls. Would almost imply that everybody should be screened. Presumably, there's a smaller group of individuals who really are at risk.
That's correct.
Who are they?
They are patients between the ages of 55 and 77, patients who smoke 30-pack years or greater, and who have quit within the last 15 years.
Those are the guidelines. What's a pack year? Let's talk about it.
20 cigarettes a day, each day for a year.
It's one pack.
So patients have to meet those criteria in order to be eligible for screening and in order for Medicare to pay for screening and insurance companies to pay for screening.
One pack of cigarettes.
One pack a day for 30 years is a 30-pack year history. Two packs a day for 15 years is a 30-pack year history, et cetera. You know, so that's, we take a very detailed smoking history. And if they have quit, the guidelines state that it's within 15 years. You've quit within 15 years. For patients who have quit longer than that, the guidelines say you shouldn't be screening those patients.
Because presumably
the risk of lung cancer decreases. But that's all very, it's confusing because I think we are still trying to best define the individuals who will most benefit from screening. And I'm not sure that we are completely convinced that it's only age and smoking history and pack years that have to be taken into account. And through many different organizations, national and international organizations, we are working to define the criteria, if you will, and identify the patients who are most at risk for this disease because things like gender, race, prior history of cancer, family history of cancer, the presence of COPD, these are really important additional risk factors that we have to take into consideration. So one of the things that we do in our screening clinic is we will get a referral. Let's say it's a patient who quit smoking 17 years ago. Well, based on the guidelines, you're not eligible for screening. But what if that patient has COPD? What if their mother died of lung cancer? What if they have a history of head and neck cancer? And I use risk prediction models that have been developed and published extensively after the large screening trial was published. And I help patients identify what their true risk is over 6 years for developing cancer, because sometimes it's greater than 2%, and those patients should be screened. So there's a great deal of education that goes on in the clinic, and discussion, and true shared decision making.
It implies, though, that you as a patient have really stopped smoking. Is there any reason to screen in somebody who's still smoking or smoking
Yes.
a little bit?
Yes. So screening, especially for those that are still smoking, yes. But one of the very important components of screening is a smoking cessation program. And that's one of the things that we are most proud of in our program. We have a smoking cessation counselor in our screening clinic. And before patients come to our clinic, they're contacted by our nurse practitioner. There's a discussion that takes place in preparation for the visit about how much are you smoking? Have you thought about quitting? These are the things that we're going to talk about. Because I think that it goes hand in hand. And in fact, we have a very nice paper that was just recently published from the large cancer screening study that showed that if you quit smoking and were being screened, the mortality was reduced even further. So the two are critical, going hand in hand, smoking cessation and screening.
If I came to your clinic, would I expect a CT scan on the first day I meet you?
On the same day, yes.
On the same day. So I come in, I get educated, we have risk assessment, and we get a CT scan.
Right.
Okay. So.
And it's read the same day by a chest radiologist who is part of the screening clinic. We have three dedicated chest radiologists who then provides me with the results. I have the ability to look at the CT with the patient, and then we make a plan for follow-up. So it's our goal is to be as comprehensive as possible to make it easy and multidisciplinary, so patients are getting input from all providers.
In other words, during that visit, I get to see my CT scan mm-hmm. and go over it with you. In other words, there's not a delay in, whoops, I've had my CT scan, I wonder what it shows.
No, the only delay is if the patient doesn't want to have it done that day, if he or she chooses to have it on a separate day, or if they are having any symptoms that suggest a respiratory illness. I don't like to get screening CTs if someone's sick because you don't want to find the incidental. So that's really the only reason to not do the scan the same day.
Let's talk about finding, as you described, incidental shadows or images. You're looking at a CT scan and there's a confluence of shadows that is not clear to a wonderful chest radiologist. It's not clearly a mass, but it's not normal. What happens then?
So it all depends on the appearance of the finding. And we are fortunate that we have fairly good guidelines that provide us with follow-up for what we call the indeterminate nodules. And it's a good point that you bring up, because one of the problems with screening is that we find a lot of nodules. In fact, in the National Lung Cancer Screening Trial, 25% of patients had nodules, and 96% of those nodules were benign.
So let's go through that a little more slowly. So there is a finding on CT that looks abnormal. It's a round density, and 96% of them will not be cancer. Presumably somebody's done a biopsy or followed that person?
So the important thing to remember is that the majority of these nodules that are detected on screening are followed over time. We are very fortunate at UNC that we have a very good algorithm in place, if you will, and we follow the guidelines. We follow what's called the lung rats, very similar to BI-RADS, what the radiologists use to read mammograms. Well, radiologists have devised guidelines for nodules detected on screening that give very good recommendations, and that's included in every report as to how you should follow those. So it's usually a 3-month, sometimes a 6-month. Sometimes we have to do what's called a PET scan. But it's rare that we jump to a biopsy right away, unless, of course, it's a very suspicious lesion and the likelihood of cancer is very high.
Because otherwise you would be doing, in 96% of patients, biopsies on people
that really shouldn't
get them.
And the goal of a well-designed screening program is to screen the high-risk patients with the goal of detecting cancer at an early stage, but being very careful not to subject patients to unnecessary procedures. And I think that that's our mission, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of carrying that out.
Getting a CT scan is not exactly without some potential risk because of the low dose of radiation that one gets. I'm not even sure whether it's low. There is radiation.
It is low. It's about 2 millisieverts of radiation, which is pretty low. The American Radiology Society has done a lot of work to ascertain the risk of exposing individuals to this kind of radiation. And at the end of the day, for individuals who are at high risk for lung cancer, the benefit of screening for detection of lung cancer significantly outweighs the potential risk of radiation exposure. But you have to remember that low dose means just that. I mean, institutions need to be committed to be doing these scans with 2 millisieverts of radiation, which is pretty low dose. And that's why when you mentioned earlier all these places doing CT scans, come get your CT scan. If I were a patient, I wouldn't want that, eh? I'd want to go to a place that I knew had exactly what the guidelines recommend. And these scans should be done with minimal radiation exposure and should be interpreted by dedicated chest radiologists so that unnecessary downstream procedures are not taking place.
Because one can imagine the adverse consequences to a patient who gets a CT scan. It's not read by a chest radiologist. It's read by a competent general radiologist who finds a nodule, who then makes the patient concerned enough that they either have to get more of these CTs or perhaps even an invasive procedure to get tissue, which may or may not be a necessary thing to happen.
Absolutely. One of the most important concerns about lung cancer screening is just that. Can we reproduce the results from the National Lung Cancer Screening Trial, which was done in centers that had a great deal of expertise, all CTs read by dedicated chest radiologists, a lot of internal control, healthy patients, younger patients, on the younger scale, if you will, of the 55 to 77. So are those results generalizable? And that we don't know the answer to that. And the best that we can do is to try to replicate that the infrastructure of the NLST with multidisciplinary teams that have expertise in lung cancer care, expertise in diagnostic procedures. So if you have to have a diagnostic procedure, you want someone with expertise in navigational bronchoscopy or endobronchial ultrasound or transthoracic needle. You want dedicated chest radiologists, interventional pulmonologists, thoracic surgeons. You really want a team of people who have expertise in the care of these patients.
And who do this every day.
Right.
Okay, my scan is negative. You tell me to go on my merry way, but you want me to come back in a year and have another one of these. I don't want another one. Convince me that I need to have another
one. Well, so the NLST followed patients for a period of 6 years, but they had annual scans for 3 years. And actually, at every year, the same number of lung cancers were detected. So it works consecutive years.
So if I'm 55, which I'm not, but let's say I were,
It's a lot.
I'm going to get a scan every year for 22 years?
It's a lot. Now, I will tell you,
you're shaking
though,
your head. That means once you start this, you're going to get
screened every year until either you reach the age where you no longer need to be screened, which, again, by Medicare guidelines 77, by the USPSTF, it's 80.
Or I've done it for 15. I'm 15 years out.
Oh, you're 15 years out from smoking, or you develop a medical condition that competes. Let's say, you know, you develop, God forbid, leukemia or, you know, serious heart disease or an illness that a comorbidity that is significant enough that it competes for, you know, dying from lung cancer. So those are the criteria. Now, I will tell you that even within that cohort of 55 to 77 with 30 or greater pack years of smoking and quit within 15 years, we know, based on some really sophisticated studies that have been done, that some patients are very low risk within that group and some are very high risk. And what we, when I say we, members of the American Thoracic Society, the American College of Chest Physicians, the International Society for the Study of Lung Cancer are trying to do is to better define the cohort of patients and to come up with risk prediction models that will help us identify those that are really the ones that will likely benefit from screening. Because even within that cohort of NLST, we know that the benefit was really not to all, right? It's to a group, and that's the group we are trying very hard to identify. And that's where other risk factors like COPD, family history, are important in these models.
Okay, so I'm a patient and I've stopped smoking. I'm feeling fine. Why are patients, some patients like that, who for all intents and purposes are perfect candidates for lung screening, why don't they get screened? What happens?
Well, I think I think it's multifactorial. I think it may, probably one of the most important factors is access to healthcare. I think, in my opinion, that's probably one of the most important reasons why people aren't being screened, or access to insurance. Patients, if they don't have insurance, they have to pay out of pocket, eh? So I believe that that's probably one of the major reasons. You know, I think there have been studies that have looked at people who are really at most risk, the heavy smokers, older patients, and there's a great deal of nihilism in smokers, eh? I think it's a problem with lung cancer, right? There's a lot of, I brought this on, I inflicted this upon myself. There's nihilism in patients, I think, in physicians and nurses in the healthcare community. So it's a disease that no one wants to talk about, no one wants to think about.
But if you stopped, I mean, it strikes me if you went through the exercise of stopping smoking, and you managed to do that, adding that extra step of wanting to be sure that if you developed a lung cancer, you picked it up early, should be motivation enough.
It should be, and it probably is for many patients, eh? You know, you have to remember that because you quit doesn't mean that your risk is down to zero, and that still may be this guilt. I have to tell you that in our clinic, of all the patients that I have seen, only one has declined screening. So most patients, once they hear what this means and once they see the results, and are very willing. And the other thing that I have found that's very reassuring is that most patients have been very willing to talk to the smoking cessation counselor and be engaged in, you know, this commitment to quitting smoking.
The persuasive powers of Dr. Patricia Rivera to get patients to be screened. What do you want physicians or other providers to know when they're referring a patient to you?
I'd like them to know that it is a comprehensive, it is a multidisciplinary clinic. It is a clinic that provides expertise in nodule follow-up, in radiology interpretation, that we have smoking cessation counselors available, And we have a really good system in place because we have developed, if we can just say a few words about our lung cancer screening registry. We've developed a lung cancer screening registry, a research registry, in collaboration with members of the radiology department. Dr. Louise Henderson, who is an epidemiologist who has been an instrumental part of the breast cancer registry, and she and I and members of the pathology division department and thoracic surgery have worked very hard to develop this registry. And we have a system in place where we track results of CTs, we track nodules, we make sure patients come back for their follow-up, we communicate with the providers, we communicate with the patients.
You're identified in this process, close tabs
right.
on you
exactly.
are appropriate.
Make sure nothing falls through.
And what's more long-term, you're going to learn a lot about a broader population and how they do,
right. exactly.
which should help refine guidelines going
Absolutely.
Forward. Dr. Rivera, thank you so much for spending time today. This has been an enlightening exercise in who should be screened for lung cancer. Thank you.
Thank you.